You're listening to KPOO 89.5 San Francisco. This is Reality Sandwich. I'm your host, Dr. Ray Ferrick Biggs of Soma Evolution, where every week we talk about themes of consciousness, change, and transformation. Our guest today is Reed Mahalko of readaboutsex.com. Reed helps adults create more self-esteem, self-confidence, and greater health in their relationships and sex lives, no matter what their self-expression of those happen to be. From his rated PG, PG-13 workshops, the cuddle party, speed flirting, to rated R, Iron Slut Sex Educator Showdown, to his explicit NC-17 rated show and tell sex ed workshops where he gets audience to watch, take notes, and ask questions, Reed has worked with thousands of individuals from a myriad of walks of life, different orientations, relationship styles, countries, and religions. Known for his charisma, wit, and emphasis on integrity, Reed travels the country teaching, coaching, consulting, and collaborating on fulfilling his mission, creating more self-esteem, self-confidence, and health in adults and in and out of the bedroom. Reed has been a writer and producer on a number of film and TV projects about sex and relationships and appeared regularly in the media. He's been on the Emmy Award-winning talk show Montel, Fox News, VH1, Scott Baio is 45 and single, and many other shows as well. Please help me join welcoming Reed Mahalko.
Yay!
Hey, Reed.
You know what? It's like I haven't read my own bio in so long because we live in this cut and paste society now, and having you read it, I'm like, wow, like I've accomplished a lot in the last 7 years that I've been a sex educator. I'm like, I sound fairly impressive.
I'm a pretty cool guy.
Look at me, Mom. You said I could grow up and be anything. I don't know that you meant this.
And I'm sure listeners caught on. We're going to be talking about sex today, everybody.
That's right.
We are
perk up.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm so excited to have you on my show. Yeah, this has been great. Well, share with the listeners a little bit about your background. How did you get into sex education, and what are you up to?
The long story, not that, you know, because it's talk radio, we have an hour.
We got time.
The main thing that I talk to people about when I'm talking about like the origin myth of read about sex is my mom and dad loved each other tremendously. But they were horrible communicators, especially around their relationship needs and how to work through disappointment and stuff like that. So I got to see what happens to a couple who loves each other dearly but has difficulty communicating their needs around their marriage. And I got to be a participant in what happens, the trickle-down effects of that. So I think the origin for me really started there with, wow, like I got to see two people who really loved each other and then kind of screwed up. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of set me on this path of like, how do I love somebody the way my mom and dad did, but not love them like they did.
Right.
And that kind of, you know, eventually turned me into this sex and relationship geek. Mm-hmm. And, you know, media wise, how I launched my career was I created a workshop, communication workshop on sex, not on sex, actually on intimacy and non-sexual touch and affection called Cuddle Party. And that when Marcia Buchinski, who's another great relationship coach, when she and I launched that, we didn't realize that there was a hidden news story within this amazing workshop, which was the fact that New Yorkers, because we launched it in New York in February of 2004, New Yorkers were all of a sudden cuddling but paying money to cuddle, and oh my goodness, what was that? And pretty much every news agency on the planet ended up covering our story eventually, and that launched me as this relationship and intimacy expert and communication expert, which now 6 years later includes all these other workshops that I do around sex and intimacy, you know, some of them being PG-13 and we're just going to talk about these things, and some being NC-17 where we're actually, you know, showing you how this works, and you know, pull your chairs closer and ask questions, because we don't get to watch sex in our culture as a means of learning how to become better lovers. Right. And for those of us certainly who are visual learners, we turn to the internets, mm-hmm. which means porn, and porn's a horrible teaching medium. Mm-hmm. you know, the joke I say over and over again is, you know, watching porn to become a better lover is like watching the Fast and the Furious to learn how to drive. You know, it's just a bad idea.
Oh, that's right, good. That's right, good.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, sex is, especially in this culture, has such a kind of a negative, and it's just not, like you said, it's not taught very well in our culture. And so it's great to have role models like yourself out there teaching people better ways to have intimacy and connection. Share with the listeners a little bit about some of the projects you're working on, or what's happening in Reed's life.
Well, there's a lot of different things. Well, first, I just got back from Turkey Day with my family in North Carolina, where most of them live now. And you know, like anybody, my folks drive me crazy. My brothers drive me crazy. I love them dearly, and so I'm constantly reminded, you know, and I think there's like some Zen Buddhist, you know, master said this once, is like, you know, no matter how, maybe it was Osho, who knows.
Probably Osho.
one of your listeners knows. But basically, you know, their comment was, you know, if no matter how far you think you have traveled on the path of enlightenment, go home, spend a week with your family and get a real reality right. check, so to speak.
Right.
You know, so I think, you know, I'm just bringing this up because even me, like, you have my communication black belt.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to get triggered and get tweaked, especially by the people that you love. So, you know, how this fits into answering your question is one of the things that I'm working on currently is I'm going to be doing a college tour next year. Mm. We're not sure if it's going to happen in the spring or the fall. But I'm planning a national college tour with I'm wrangling up a bunch of other sex educators, and we've got a big sponsored, you know, behemoth juggernaut of a sex educator tour where we're going to be going from colleges around the country talking about sex and relationships and kind of making it fun.
Right.
And using what I think is my sense of humor, whether I'm funny or not.
What do you think?
time will tell. I think I'm hilarious. But using humor and entertainment as a means of creating, you know, sex edutainment,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, because for a lot of people in this country, talking about sex and intimacy is a lot like going to the dentist. And it's really painful because a lot of us, we weren't role modeled great communication skills. And as you already said, you know, there's a large undercurrent of sex negativism in this culture, regardless of your sexual orientation. And it can be hard and sometimes shameful for folks to bring up things that are really vulnerable for them around their needs and desires. And so one of the things I want to do next year is go and talk to college age adults and role model that it's okay to talk about stuff. It's okay to have desires. It's okay to, you know, if your sexuality is a little out of the box, whatever that means.
Right.
And just get people talking more and hopefully laughing a little bit at the human, you know, condition of trying to receive and give pleasure when you're in bed with somebody that maybe you just met, mm-hmm. or maybe that you've known for 15 years,
right?
Because that presents its own in kinds of challenges.
Well, for me, the interest in sex for me was, as many listeners know, I broke my neck about 7 years ago, and when I was in the hospital, one of the first questions came in my head was, "God, will I ever walk again?" And the second was literally, can I ever have pleasurable sex again? And so I started looking on the internet for information about sex and disability. And my psychologist at the time said, well, sure, you can take Viagra and still get an erection. And, you know, if you want to father children, we can make that happen. But that was all the knowledge that information I got. So I was really frustrated and began on my own quest to learn more about sex and disability. And so I've been on this path now for this last couple of years and am starting to teach classes on sexuality and disability. And for so many people, I think there's maybe 50 to 60 million people in the United States that have disabilities, and it affects their relationships and their intimacy. So that's how I got interested in it. And a couple of weeks ago, I attended a workshop that Reed did on energetic sex, which was really interesting to me because you know, I have very little feeling below my chest. So having regular sex or with genitals, it just doesn't really do it for me. Mm-hmm. But I've found other parts of my body that are very erotic and have a lot of pleasure.
And we should qualify for your listeners that when we mean by energetic sex, it's not like, you know, sprinting from, you know, 40 yards and trying to have sex. It's not like the Energizer Buzzy.
Interval training.
Exactly. It's not like the Energizer Bunny. We're actually talking about, like, how do you use sexual energy and play with that as a means of creating pleasure and engaging with yourself and with your partner around those things. So a little bit more, like I like to say, like woo-woo, esoteric, nuanced things.
Yes.
Sure, you know, and you don't have to wear a bindi and know a lot of Sanskrit words or do yoga to have access to this stuff.
Right.
And even with you and I, like in the car ride in today, like just starting to geek out about what we were going to talk about, and the pleasure to be able to talk about sex outside of the box doesn't necessarily mean kinky. It can mean, you know, I'm differently abled, and how do I get off, or how do I get you off? Mm-hmm. And, you know, by our nation's standards, that's out of the box sex.
Totally out of the box. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a real interesting journey just for me personally to discover that, you know, wow, there's other parts of my body that are really sensitive, and with the right person can feel really pleasurable. And what I learned is that, you know, by continuing to experiment and find those different pathways, that the body's nervous system can rewire itself, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm having orgasms and releases of energy in my body that feel amazingly good. Is it the same as it was before? No, it's very different. But still, does it give me intimacy and connection with my partner? Absolutely. And so that's kind of a mission I'm on. And I thought we could just talk a little bit more about, like, what is energetic sex and what does that look like? And maybe you can share with the listeners
Teach us how to do it now.
Right now,
okay, everybody. Get really close to your radio.
Find a subwoofer.
Yeah, exactly. Crank up the bass. What was that? The Howard Stern movie was happening, right?
Yes.
So energetic sex for me, I'll go into a little bit of my spiel. And by all means, like, join in, because I realize I'm sitting here in a radio studio with people that are experts in their fields. You know, so just don't remain quiet and, you know, let Reed be like, oh, this is how it is. The way energetic sex occurs to me, or what it is basically the idea that arousal or erotic energy or turn on is actually, you know, something that you can play with, like something that you can, you know, tease even, and that it's not necessarily this, have to be this Om Shanti Shanti, you know, auras and chakras, although we can totally talk, you know, with those terms. Because again, like as Americans, we have so few words and contexts for sex. You know, the Eskimos have their 18 words for snow or whatever, you know, the number of words it is. And like as Americans around sensuality and sex, we have like 4 words and they're all dirty. Mm-hmm. You know, they're words we can't say on the radio. And, and for those of you listening, and Rafe warned me, he's like, okay, so when we get in there, like, here are the things you can't say on the air. And I was like, oh yeah, I have to remember to mind my P's and Q's. So energetic sex for me is the focus, putting the focus on sensation, which includes the turn on and the sensation that can occur in your own mind around things that turn you on. And once you start to play with these ideas of thought and turn on, you know, ooh, that's hot, and actually taking a thought that's a turn on and really starting to tune into your body and being like, okay, when I think about this scenario, what does it actually feel like the sensations are in my body? And realizing that those sensations are things that you can play with and explore, and then trying to map those kinds of erotic turn-on sensations with actual sensations you can create with touch.
Right.
And that's kind of the way that I talk about, the long way of talking about energetic sex for people who don't believe in woo-woo things like chakras and, you know, kundalini.
Our listeners love the chakras.
They love the chakras. But this is good. But like, so, and I'll get into that in a minute, because I can totally, I've got my own theories on this. But for the the pragmatic, you know, I don't believe if I write a word on a glass of water, it does anything to the water. Mm-hmm. For those people who really need hard science, the idea of touch and sensation or really exploring pleasure and the idea that pleasure is also something that can be thought created.
Sure.
Can be a great foot in the door for this thing called energetic sex, which is how do you let go enough to really play with sensation? And what's it like when you build up that sensation and don't try to release it? I'll make this all sound really brilliant in a second. I feel like I'm rambling. But basically, you know, from a more woo-woo, you know, chakra perspective, the way that I play with energetic sex, and this, there is some hard science to this, and it's only about a 2-minute hard science piece, is that, you know, if we had two tuning forks of the same note, and you stood on one end of the studio and I stood over here, and I hit one, the vibrational waves that would give off, once they reached, and it would reach pretty quickly, mm-hmm. the other tuning fork would cause that tuning fork to start to vibrate and resonate because it's at the same frequency. Mm-hmm. And so my idea is like, or how the world occurs to me is like, oh, you know, I'm just kind of sitting here like I'm a tuning fork that's at C. Mm-hmm. And if you're another tuning fork at C, when I walk into the room, if I'm in a really excited state, you kind of notice something shift. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us have had that experience, sure. of somebody walks into the room and the whole room changes. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, the science part is I know that if I hit one tuning fork, a tuning fork of the same note in the same room will start to vibrate even just a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's all the science I got for you. Because the rest of it is this idea that we throw off or are broadcasting like a radio station our energy at this particular frequency.
Right.
And if your radio is tuned into that frequency, you pick up my broadcast, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I mean, very similar to the yogic perspective is there's all sorts of sensations in the body, the mind, and the emotion. So you have friction, which is like rubbing of skin. Mm-hmm. You know, you can feel the heat, you can feel the sensations of that. Another sensation would be anxiety or excitement. You can feel that in your stomach, in your gut, in your third chakra area. The third stimuli is what you're thinking about, your mental. And then you combine all three of this in intelligence and purpose way. You can play with the level of energy. And without a better term, play without releasing the speed.
Yeah, and this is again, like you say, without a better term. We're already into an area where we just don't have language in this, or context for this. And when I talk to somebody at a supermarket, they're looking at me like,
an orgasm to an animal, you just need to see it.
Because I teach this particular stuff in my life, not everybody has a decoder ring to jump back and forth. And then for those of us who are completely I can do myself a pragmatist and a coach, but I've had a ton of experiences that I can't find. I know there's not time to do it. And I still haven't experienced it. And when I teach pragmatic classes, you don't have to believe that you have anything. And you get it wheels of discs spinning in different areas of your body called chakras. You don't have to believe that there's a risk. You just gain access to the stuff that we're talking about. And again, bringing it back to the somatic experience, when you start to learn how to control your thoughts, or even just notice your friends even more clearly, so you can focus, you put your attention and intention towards those thoughts, when you start to learn how to really get into your body and somatically experience it. And you start moving, doing your homework to move some of the cultural shame and certain baggage that you might have from your growing up. And then all of a sudden, there's a lot more crayons, a lot more different color crayons in the box that you were given around sex. And most people, it's kind of like you went to the Italian restaurant and they have like a crayon box with four crayons and you're supposed to go and sort of what. Like now, when you start deconstructing sex a little bit, and then when you take orgasm and make your sex not just orgasm center, then you think about what you're sexing about pleasure, the exchange and play of pleasure, that just happens to include physical ejaculatory type orgasm. And when you start looking at sex and erotic play from that perspective, now there's like 160 crayons in that box. It's got a crayon sharpener on the side.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's like now the playing field is so much larger. So, and again, I can get a little bit to talk about next movie. I'll tell you a little bit about your experiences and your orgasmic energy when it's not hormonally focused and adaptive.
One of the experiences I had was that we getting my energy excited. And I'm enough of an energy connect with my own body to be able to notice how I'm getting when it gets excited. And then it goes to the back end of my sexual way. And you notice when your partner gets excited. And when your partner gets excited, you guys happen to be tuned into the same note. Their excitement will bounce off you and get you more excited. And then your energy gets them more excited. And you get into a feedback loop. And then that energy just kind of explodes or magnifies in a really, really simple way that most people, the way that we're raised in this culture, just don't have any access to. And again, like I mentioned, I talk about the deep kind of sex. And for some of us, it's a little bit harder, it's a little bit more frustrating, it's just a map of it. But I do believe it's something that anyone can learn. And part of the thing you need to learn is it's not about the penis. It's not about the vagina. And to separate sex from just having a penis about your breasts. And that's a huge step for a lot of people. It's not easy when you're in this culture to be like, oh, you mean it's not about down there? And you'd be like, well, if it is, you end up so much more. And if you don't feel you don't feel it, it doesn't matter.
Go!
WKPOO 89.5 FM San Francisco. This is the Alan Sam from the New York City Research Group. And today we're with Lee Malco to read about sex and we're talking about sex. We're going to talk about sex, disability, all kinds of interesting topics. So, welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm like, let's talk more. Let's do that more. And also, if you listen to like the calling about the number one time, it's disabled, you know, what am I? Am I like a normally able person? Say that, like, start asking ways to encroach and you have me laughing. So what did your peer, what did she call?
Oh, yeah, my friend, Dr. McPeter, she called it
and then having it like a swimming pool kind of wiggle down in front of you, and you know, through your organs and belly back into your pelvis, and continue like pulling it up and moving it down. Almost like a free fall. There are a few chocolate fountains of sexual energy. The idea of using visualization as moving, even if you don't believe in energy, but you're moving, pretending to move something, is a really great way to get you into your body, somatically speaking, and start to tune into what does it feel like moving energy around. So you can start to learn what it feels like to you. And if my friends are like, no, this isn't real, this is all make-believe, I'm like, well, if you and your partner are sitting in each other's lap and visualizing the energy moving around as you guys feel closer together, such that you can let the wall down a little bit more, be a little bit more free with each other, you start to get more in your body so that you really start getting present to the turn-up, to the excitement, whatever excitement feels like to you. If that gets you guys hotter and heavier for each other, who cares if you're moving energy around or not? Use the technique and play with it from there, regardless of what belief system. And that's where I find, like, whether I'm teaching New Yorkers, teaching, you know, river flying up, and doing it not before, I'm just in Lydia, or I'm teaching, you know, people in Berkeley. Again, like, you don't need to have scientific evidence for this stuff yet, and you don't need to even believe it's true to gain access to it. And again, like, anything that you can do to create more fun and excitement and pleasure and intimacy with your partner, maybe you should be trying that. And again, like, even just like pretending and using energy around while you're having solo love making with yourself can be super useful.
I tell my friends all the time, don't believe me at all. Like, think I'm full of crap and go and find out. Do the experience. Try out the little things that I ask you to try out. And if you know nothing, you have no experience, okay, I'll say yes. But test it. Yeah. Put it to the test.
So something that's interesting about what you're saying about Mad Men is that one of the reasons I like that position around the experience and the play is it puts your body into positions where your chakras are in good proximity or kind of lined up. And the idea of tuning into the chakras and playing with them with each other is the ideal way to kind of make your sex workshop is to kind of think of the chakras like the octaves on a piano keyboard. And it just so happened to be seven octaves on the piano. I don't know. Maybe I care if that was intentional or not. But the idea of understanding that, you know, some people, like the music, like if you're listening to the musicians or singers, you know, there are certain octaves that just feel better to you. You know, you sing in this range, it's just much more comfortable. And in the other range, it's not so much fun. Certain composers like to compose, you know, when it comes to the composing in certain ranges, because that just speaks to them. It's my belief, again, it's, you know, just my opinion here, that for some folks, there's just certain chakras, certain octaves, that there are their default. So when you start exploring and practicing with this kind of play with a partner, try to play in the areas that are comfortable, because it'll be easier to kind of, you know, pass the ball back and forth, so to speak. And the idea that, you know, some people, the lower register, you know, the first and second chakras, which is a more sexual, you know, low range, you know, frumpy, turn up the bass, yeah, tribal, those aren't all comfortable for everything. And at the same time, like, you know, you go to a rock music festival, and all of a sudden you're talking to a bunch of people who are just way hanging out in their sixth and seventh chakra, and it's like speaking to somebody who's got a Mylar balloon floating above their head. Like, that can be, that particularly for me as a New Yorker, who knows? But I have friends who love talking, you know, in that range, and playing in that range. I mean, for, you know, for a lot of folks, you know, the heart chakra is kind of in the middle key, maybe. And that can be really comfortable and soothing. And so that when you're playing with people, you know, spend some time checking in with each other to what chakras feel comfortable or feel maybe to need a little bit more attention from where you're being drawn to. When you start playing with this wiser energy and special energy, because not the main reason being that in our culture, most people only really play or use a lot of energy into either brain or either brain. You know, like think, or orgasm. And that there's a whole bunch of other places that you can run tens and tens of energy. It doesn't just have to be, you know, to be your personal life. So you got chakras 1 and 2, you've got your root chakra and heart stem. I don't know all the yoga names. You're a yoga man?
Yeah. I won't go into the Sanskrit today.
Yeah. But do you know the words?
I know some of them.
That's awesome. See, I think I did karate for a couple of decades, and I just never learned all the words for stuff. So if you speak these things in your vocab, you know the words for these things, email me. Like, I want to hear it, because it's just, that's not how it comes to me. But we've got the first and second chakras, and the root chakras, like where your cranium is, between your genitals and your bum. And then we've got our second chakra, which is a couple inches below your belly button, in Japanese and martial arts, it's your hara part. And then third chakra, it's like red, yellow, third is orange. That's associated with creativity.
And putting your mark in the world. The third chakra is the most natural of all the chakras. The five below is the most natural. You can look natural as all the other things. The third chakra is taking what you are and what you want to be and putting it in the world as a human force.
Well, I mean, I've been working really hard on my business for the last few years and spending a lot of time with Barry, and I would say that my third chakra is protruding more into the world than you
can see. We can do a chakra evaluation and a makeover.
I like to call it my Buddha belly. So then, the fourth chakra. Fourth chakra and heart chakra. That's a really nice example of in the Yavion position. There's a demo that I like to do. And again, like all this stuff is going to be very good. Where you can use your heart chakra. You can use any of your chakras, too. But the heart chakra seems to work well for the demo. It's my belief that inside of each of your chakras, there's another range of octaves. So you can have the more sexual brain or comfy range inside of your heart energy, and then the higher, you know, range as well. And so, you can actually kind of use your chakras to almost as if they're genital, to receive and to penetrate. Exactly. And that, again, like, those are great ways to start to learn or gain a little bit of coordination over your energy and how you can play catch with it from back and forth with each other. So you've got heart chakra, fifth chakra is your throat chakra, and he's the leader of sound, and using sound, for sound release, and vibrational release, and the love making. If not for anything other than using noise in bed, it's giving your heart an extension to noise in bed. Which means that when you do something good, you're able to make a yummy sound, and then you're like, oh my goodness, that probably is a good sound, you see. Yeah. You know, because in our culture, again, like, they're not allowed to talk about sex, so most people don't talk about it in the bedroom, so they're not speaking about what they like, or making adjustments, or, you know, it's hard to learn what people like if they're not telling you. We're doing about six chakra, third eye. Usually indigo or blue or something. Again, like, you can help it. That's all I'm talking about. Keeping energy of sex. It's another color code. That's what's going on. It's like the chakra fancy code. Flagging system. And then you've got the seventh chakra, which is the crown chakra. And again, like, for my purposes, working with people, you would just find the areas that you're comfortable in playing with and that your partners are comfortable in playing with. Start there. and then move to the places if you want to. And then as far as, like, you know, from my peer friends and my grandparents to my accomplished community, it can be a little bit frustrating because there's so much emphasis on masculine and feminine, so you can sometimes feel like you're not feel seen. You know, receptive and giving receiving is some learning and getting that in the saddle. You use that a lot more in masculine and feminine. Again, for folks who are listening to this, you're like, oh, I don't really speak to me. You know, send me an email, and I'll be able to give you some resources. But, you know, the traditions have started in cultures hundreds and hundreds of years ago. This is what we inherit. And we don't really, we're just learning now how to deconstruct and fear comes up a little bit. So it's not just about saying, yeah, I'm going to fear. Fear is a code word for
We're just about out of
time. Wow. That's pretty bad. So you can get me at my website, which is readaboutsex.com, R-E-I-D, aboutsex.com. Just spell it the other way, the code button. So I'm going to read it. But if this is going to get me,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm really grateful for coming to the meeting.